Today you get to decide, are you a player hater or are you happy that players are getting paid at the collegiate level?
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
What a wonderful Thursday night, rolling into a beautiful Friday evening here on Theoretically Speaking. It's your boy Theo Dorsey, C-Cat, on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. And on this blessed day where we learn that money is about to be pouring in for student athletes, at least now directly funded by their schools, for a guy like me, I'm a little excited about that. I'm happy about that. I think it's a good thing, but I know that I'm not maybe even on all the way the side of the popular opinion on this. The players are about to get paid. Now, you know, it was fun for me, C-Cat, watching last night's Eastern Conference Finals game two, watching the Celtics and the Pacers go after it. It was a pretty good game there in the first half. I kind of was triple screening it. I'm triple screening it. On one screen, I have Celtics-Pacers going back and forth. Early on, I thought the Pacers would cover. I know there's a lot of people out there mad at Rick Carlisle. We'll get to that later on. I was hoping the Pacers would cover so that I could stay up in our playoff payoff. Right now, we're not at 2-1 because you won last night and I didn't.
Yeah.
It's not about that. I'm triple screening Pacers-Celtics, number one, because, well, Pacers-Celtics isn't Mavericks-Timberwolves, which is what we're getting tonight. But also, because on one screen, I have my laptop, I'm editing stuff that I'm doing, working on some stories for ESPN West Palm Play, which you should check out on YouTube. And then also, on my third screen, I have my phone in my hand, and I'm scrolling through, and I'm reading tweets, I'm digging into articles, because I am fascinated, absolutely fascinated about what's happening right now in the landscape of collegiate athletics, House versus NCAA, and what it pretty much delves out is that the NCAA, the Power Four or Five schools, whichever you want to call it, is going to now have the ability to, and really going to be pressured to be paying players in a revenue-sharing way. That means that you don't just go to school and get NIL anymore. Now you can get maybe some NIL endorsement deals on top of a salary potentially in the NCAA if this does get passed by a judge. This right here is unprecedented. It is immaculate. This is the first time in the history of collegiate athletics that the NCAA is signing up for something like this. Not, hey, you can pay kids under the table. And not, oh, you can go ask boosters for money or get fans to donate money and then you get it to the kids. That way, now they are directly setting up an opportunity for pay for play. And for once, the big wigs in the offices of the NCAA no longer able to sit around and do this.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around. With your broke ass.
As it reads, this agreement would agree to compensate close to 25,000 athletes who attended the Division I colleges and were unable to take advantage of NIL. There were three active antitrust suits. I don't want to get into the explanation of this. I want to get to the meat of what we're hearing right now. College athletes are about to be able to get paid directly from schools. That means that the ones that are signing on National Signing Day, that means that the kids that are currently in school, the Shedeur Sanders of the world, quarterback for Colorado, the Edwards running back at Michigan. Who's your favorite college football player right now at Penn State for UCCat?
Drew Aller, quarterback who had a bad first season.
I was about to say the Drew Aller stuff wasn't so hot. Are y'all still, y'all optimism still out there for the Nittany Lions?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, schedule's easier this year than last year.
Well, you know what? Sometimes people are incentivized to play better when they get paid better. And if this does pass, student athletes will be getting paid from the NCAA. I don't want to do something also unprecedented on a day like today. I don't want to try and, like, you know, big up or match the energy of the NCAA right now, but I might as well. For the first time in theoretically speaking history, we're actually going to open up the phone lines a little early here. The Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. I know that colleges directly paying student athletes is controversial. I know it's opening up another can of worms because there are going to be unintended consequences whenever you make anything that is wide-scale changing like this. But I ask you the question. Is colleges directly paying student-athletes good for college football or college athletics at a whole? And for me personally, I have to say it feels amazing. I think that when you look at the landscape of college athletics right now and for how long they've been able to benefit off of not paying athletes directly, benefit off of cheaper or free labor at sometimes, now them having to figure out their budgets, having to actually factor players in, and potentially what we're hearing right now is a revenue sharing model that Power Five conferences and the NCAA will have to get into. So for me, what I'm hearing with that is you can directly feel like if you're a student athlete competing and contending for wins, you remember when Johnny Manziel was on Shannon Sharpe's couch for all the Uncle Shay Shay or Club Shay Shay room. He talked specifically about, yo, I'm out here winning football games for the Aggies, something that they hadn't done before I stepped on that campus for a few years, and they didn't do for a few years after him. He was putting the Aggies on the map, was in the Heisman, obviously, you know, Heisman finalist and a winner. Johnny Manziel was a guy who felt like my contribution to winning is not contributing to my paychecks, to my pockets, while everybody else is sitting up there and getting fat stacks off of them. I, for one, am totally glad that collegiate athletes are going to be able to get paid from the top dogs, from the ones that are making the money, that are striking these big media deals. I do understand the unintended consequences of it, and I do understand that this is going to further the gap between the Power Five and the Group of Five. I do understand that this is going to maybe have some unintended consequences that hurt other sports, like the volleyballs and the lacrosses of the world at these major sporting collegiate universities. Like, that's going to happen. There are going to be some negatives to it. But another thing I understand is these dudes are making a lot of bread. And I know that resources are finite, and I know that in collegiate athletics, at a certain point, when you have 20 different staffers making this amount of salary to be able to take care of all of these different things, you have these beautiful facilities that they sprout up. I remember when Xavier Worthy, the first-round pick for the Kansas City Chiefs, went from the University of Texas's facilities to what they have over there at Arrowhead Stadium. And he was like, yo, this is a little bit poverty. Well, guess what? In the NFL, they're splitting the pie halfway. Now in the NCAA, Power Five conferences are going to be able to split it about 20 to 22% if we're believing the reports and if the judge passes this. Things are about to heat up in a heavy way in collegiate athletics here. And for me, I'm all aboard for this. C-Cat, again, we discussed, you're a Penn State fan. I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan. You're a guy, though, that's actually in one of the protected conferences. You're in the Big Ten. For you, there's actually way less downside to this. This gives, you know, the Penn State squads and the teams in that conference with you a bit of a heads up, a bit of an edge.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Penn State makes so much money off of football. Like, it's not just boosters. It's straight up profit off of tickets. It's straight up profit off of merchandise, off of parking. Like, they make all that money. It's time to give the guys that are on the gridiron, earning that popularity, earning those wins, earning that nationwide recognizable brand of Penn State, it's time they get a cut of the pie.
It's about that time. And if you're wondering, like, okay, was this that big of a deal? Is this that life-changing? Paul Feinbaum earlier on ESPN, when you're trying to put this, every single time we have a big story, a big landmark decision, you try and put it within context of what else is going on in sports. Paul Feinbaum had a definitive statement earlier today on Get Up about what House versus the NCAA, and they're now knowing that there's going to be a potential for pay-for-play, specifically from schools to players, no middlemen. This is what Paul Feinbaum, how he contextualizes a big story like today's.
But this is the most significant day in the history of the NCAA because the sham that the NCAA has always been is over. They have always fought on every mountain to defend the right that this is really amateur athletics when we've all known that has not been the case for a long time. And finally, they had to agree to it in court to avoid what? To avoid literally going out of business, because had this case gone to trial, they would have been wiped out. I mean, if you agree to settle something for $2.8 billion, can you imagine how much exposure you had? So the NCAA plus the conferences that were dragged into it alongside simply wave the white flag. They have the money. This isn't really to further student athletes, quote unquote, so to speak. This is to prevail and preserve their own ability to continue to be in existence.
The NCAA is not out of nowhere just being altruistic. Oh, man, we're going to go out here and we're gonna take care of the people that are putting money in our pockets. No.
Damn it, enough is enough.
Like, do you think that those guys that the I saw in the Big Ten, there was a report that Jim Delaney, who's been retired since 2021, was the highest paid Big Ten employee last year with just under $6 million he acquired last year as a retired employee doing nothing for the Big Ten right now. You think a guy like him is like, oh, yeah, man, you know what? I just feel bad, man. I see the stories about these student athletes. I see the stories about these college basketball players talking about how they're hungry through March Madness, and I just wanted to do something to help the common man.
No.
This is the NCAA was about to implode because of all the antitrust lawsuits and because of all the rulings that were happening across the nation that all of them were going in favor of the other side. You know what the NCAA did? They pulled a Rick Carlisle and they pulled the starters. They said this thing's about over with. The ship is about to sink and it's time for us to get out while we can. And what that results in is now, again, roughly $2.8 billion in NIL back pay over the next decade. And power conference schools, they're going to be able to share in the neighborhood of 20% of their revenue share with the players going forward. And when they say you're going to have the opportunity to, what that really means is you better. Because if you're Penn State, if you're USC in the Big Ten now, even if you're Miami in the ACC and you want the Jaden Rashadas of the world, guess what? You're going to have to pay to get those guys in the same way that you had to pay to get them in for NIL. Now there's going to be a little more structure with it, and it's going to come directly from the school. And again, speaking of Jaden Rashada, you can maybe thank him and his situation that happened with the Gators out in Gainesville and even Arizona State for having some push into making this a reality. Players about to get paid now, man. This is a totally different world in college athletics. And Paul Feinbaum says it's the biggest day in the history of the NCAA. I'd say it's the biggest day since we learned that EA Sports was coming back out with the college football game.
It's a massive day, dude, and I don't know where the haters or the people that can't stand the fact that we're getting further and further away, and I think this was the nail in the coffin of college sports being an amateur activity, right?
Yeah.
No longer. No, these guys are getting paid, and college athletes have been treated as if they were professionals by the fans, right?
Yeah.
Those DMs fill up when they drop a pass. Those DMs fill up when they miss a wide open three. They were treated like they're getting paid before actually cashing checks from the university.
Exactly. And also, you know what? All of that amateurism, protecting amateurism stuff, that was the most blatant piece of propaganda that for some reason college football fans specifically, but also other you know, collegiate sports, you know, the basketballs and the volleyballs and the softballs of the world, people glued to that so heavily as if that was the real reason why the higher-ups, the people in control, didn't want to pay the athletes, were protecting amateurism.
Yeah, like, welcome to the real world. The guys don't want to get paid.
Yeah.
And newsflash, college sports isn't about amateurism. It's about tradition, and none of that tradition is going to go away. Are they going to stop playing Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech? No. Are they going to stop jumping in the bushes at Auburn after a big win? No. It's still going to be the same product, if not a better product, on the field come fall.
And is Notre Dame going to continue to disappoint us at the end of every year?
Probably.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen still. And that's the thing about collegiate athletics, too. I think the thing that is more damning, the thing that is more threatening to the traditions is all of the realignment and the teams no longer having the regional rivals and whatnot that you would have that you think back to and back in the day, and even currently right now, the fact that the Pac-12 is no longer going to be around. But paying these players, most certainly, I'm not worried about the ramifications outside of, I do feel bad. I do feel bad for the non-revenue sports right now, because those are going to be the people that feel it the worst. Non-revenue sports, and then also some of the Group of Five teams who are already struggling to recruit in the NIL era, now try and compete against schools that are actually allowed to pay players, and see how many of those Group of Five teams actually jump on board with that. But I ask you again, is it good for sports? Is it good for collegiate athletics that schools can pay players directly. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call in to Theoretically Speaking. That is the Baptist Health Hotline. And are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. It's a top five Friday here on Theoretically Speaking. It's not just, are we going to talk about the Eastern Conference Finals game too? Yes, I will get to that. I know Celtics fans probably want me to, you know, own up to saying that they weren't going to be able to do it. I had the Pacers covering. There was a lot of issues that happened down the stretch in that game. There was an injury to Tyrese Haliburton. We'll get to all of that. But more importantly, it's Memorial Day weekend. You could tell around here that it's a holiday weekend because, on holiday Fridays.
Yeah, no one shows up. What is that about, man? We're still here. What if we did the same thing? We had dead air for an hour.
Well, we're doing the opposite. We're doing the exact opposite. We're delivering right now. We're also going to bring in Chris Canty from Unsportsmanlike. You hear him on 6 to 10 a.m. Here on ESPN 106.3. We're bringing in Chris Canty because I need some help. I am moving on from my young adulthood. I'm moving into my middle-agedom. And for my birthday this year, C-Cat, which is coming up on Tuesday, I'm getting myself a grill.
Wow.
I'm getting myself a grill. I'm becoming a man. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to learn how to cook the meats. And to help me get started with that, we're going to lean on Chris Canty from Unsportsmanlike, who had a huge, colossal take on grills. So I need to, before I purchase that grill, before I get that for my birthday, I need to run by the specs on him so I'm not embarrassed.
Good idea.
We got to do this the right way. Theoretically Speaking, when we come back, we have Chris Canty. We'll talk some playoffs. We'll talk some grilling. We'll talk some Memorial Day weekend. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It's a good take your pick tonight. We got the game two of the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals, the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers on ESPN. That's an 8 o'clock tip. And then you know what I'll be watching? 8:30 on TNT. The Dallas Mavericks at the Minnesota Timberwolves. I got to see how the Ant-Man bounces back at home. I'm expecting good things. We'll hear from that as we continue our playoff payoff. Me versus C-Cat picking against the spread in the NBA. And joining Theoretically Speaking is the man himself, the Super Bowl champion, Chris Canty from Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman. And Chris, today I learned that you said you cannot trust a man who uses a gas grill. My question to you is, can you trust a man that don't know how to grill at all?
I trust a man to know his strengths and his weaknesses. So if you know your strengths and your weaknesses, I'm cool with that. I always say this, a player that knows his limitations is a more effective player. So if you don't get down on the grill, if that's not your thing, okay, cool. But don't sit here and try to sell me that you get down on the grill and then you turn on a propane tank with some gas grill garbage. So it's got to be charcoal. Somebody put me on to the pellet grill by the Traeger. I can get down with that if you're using the wood pellets.
Yes.
The grills are full. But it's got to be some natural substance other than just propane gas. And I can't get on board with the gas food off the grill. You can taste the difference. Don't at me because I know it's true. That's my personal preference, charcoal, wood, or a combination of the two. But don't just sell me on some gas garbage.
So I'm glad you said that, Canty. And both of those things you said gives me a little comfort because, number one, I don't know how to grill, but I'm working on it. That's why I'm getting a grill for my birthday that's coming up this weekend, and I'll put it to work for Memorial Day weekend. And guess what? You'll be happy to know I'm going in on the Traeger, man. I'm getting the pellet grill.
Hey.
You feel me?
So I feel you. That's what's up.
I'm in good company. Now, first things, before we get to the NBA playoffs, because I got to ask you about the Ant-Man, because I know you're on the Fantastic Voyage with me, with Anthony Edwards. And also, I do want to get to what happened last night with the Celtics-Pacers. What's the first meat I should try? As a beginner griller, what's the first thing you throw on that grill that I don't disappoint my wife with?
Ooh, you don't want to disappoint your wife. Yeah. Listen, I would do this because chicken can be a little bit tricky. I would do this. I would go with the lollipop lamb chops. That's always easy to do. Hard to mess that up. Some brats, some Italian sausages. If hot dogs is your thing, go that route. You can't mess that up. Burgers, the same deal. You can't really mess that up either. So I would stick with those three, really. The lollipop, lamb chops, the burgers, and then brats and Italian sausage. You can't go wrong with that.
Perfect, perfect. Chris Canty laying down the grilling law, and I'll make sure I stay in line. KYP is know your personnel. KYL is know your limits, and I ain't going to go beyond that.
There you go.
One dude who it feels like he doesn't know his limits as a three-point shooter is Jason Tatum, who went 1-for-7 last night. And even though the Celtics won big and it was comfortable, he didn't look like the best player on the Boston Celtics as Jaylen Brown poured in 40 points in that Celtics win. When you watch and intake what the Celtics have done these playoffs and you see what happened last night, are you on the bandwagon of those who feel like Jaylen Brown maybe an all-NBA snub? He doesn't get enough flowers right now?
Certainly feels like a snub with the way he performed in the conference finals. I'll say this. If things continue to trend in this direction, he's going to win the Larry Bird Trophy, which is Eastern Conference Finals MVP. So he's going to win that. And if that continues, the Jaylen Brown All-NBA Snub Revenge Tour into the NBA Finals, and the Celtics presumably win, and Jaylen Brown wins MVP, I think it's a bigger question of, who is the face of the Boston Celtics? At a time when we thought Jason Tatum was next up to be the face of the league, he might be the sidekick to the guy that shows up when his best is required, and that being JB. So I think it's fascinating to watch this playoff run for the Celtics unfold, because there is the overarching question of whether that tandem can get it done. Can they live up to the promise and potential of both being top three picks, both being all NBA caliber players? But then there's also the friction of who the best player on that team is. And since we've had the conversation about whether or not Tatum and Brown can get it done, whether or not Boston will keep Tatum and Brown together, everybody has assumed that if they were to split those two guys up, because they're both going to be on $300-plus million contracts after this summer, the guy that will be on the outs is Jaylen Brown. But I'm just sitting here thinking about this thing. It's going to be a tough sell if JB does go on to win conference finals MVP, NBA finals MVP, that he wouldn't be the top dog, the face of the Boston Celtics. And so that becomes fascinating, the perception around both of those players as we move through the remainder of the postseason.
Now, do you really feel like, and again, Chris Canty joining us here on Theoretically Speaking from Unsportsman, like, do you really feel like the face of the league is up for grabs for whoever wins the NBA Finals this year? Because my opinion is Anthony Edwards is the only one that can claim it this year because of the fanfare he has alongside the potential chance of lifting up the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end. If Luka wins it or Tatum wins it, it doesn't feel like they had enough momentum as characters that are going to drive the narrative and that everybody cares about. Whereas Anthony Edwards, you can tell before he even has been in the MVP conversation, has already taken the nation by a storm.
Well, he's charismatic. And let's not forget, a reason why people are jumping on the bandwagon for Ant-Man is because he beat the reigning defending champs. And oh, by the way, beat the guy that won 3 MVPs over the last 4 years in Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
That's why everybody's jumping on it. No, everybody left the Minnesota Timberwolves for dead when they went down 3-2, when the Nuggets won 3 consecutive games in the semis. But the fact that they were able to find their footing and come back and win 2 games, including the final one in Denver, in a series against the reigning defending champs, you beat them 3 of the 4 games on their home court. I think those are things that we're impressed with Ant-Man, especially when you consider that he's 22 years old. So your point is well taken. I think that he has to finish the drill in order to be dubbed the face of the league. But Luka Doncic ain't that far off. I mean, I know he's got a game that doesn't necessarily seem like it's the most entertaining when you're watching it. There's a lot of complaining. There's a lot of he's always extra in his expressions. He's very demonstrative, but the dude is a hooper. I mean, in game one, he took the Mavs home. I mean, 15 of his 33 came in the fourth quarter. So the guy can get it done, and he shows up at the most important times for his team. The Mavs went on a 13 nothing run in that fourth quarter, and Luka Doncic scored or assisted on 11 of the 13 points. So, I mean, he is a phenomenal, phenomenal talent. Just made his fifth consecutive first-team All-NBA team. This dude has more first-team All-NBA teams than Steph Curry, than Chris Paul. That's the kind of talent that Luka Doncic is. And you're still talking about a guy that's 25 years old. So, yeah, I think if the Mavs end up winning the NBA Finals, then I think you can make a strong case that Luka Doncic could be the face of the league as well.
Right, right. You can make that case. I just still feel like, again, the charisma of it all, like that isn't there on the side of a Luka Doncic. Whereas you look at a guy like Nikola Jokic, who won three MVPs and a title, but because he didn't lean in as much as guys like Ant or guys like LeBron, who's been carrying the mantle, it's hard to call him the face of the league, just the best player in the league. Chris Canty joining us here on Theoretically Speaking. I want to get right back to grilling, though. Before I get you out of here, it's Memorial Day weekend, too. It's Memorial Day weekend. For you, when did you actually pick up grilling? When did you actually get out there and learn the craft and get good at it? Because I feel like I'm a late starter. And really, honestly, once I get this grill, I'm starting to think, like, this is my excuse to sit back and watch games all day, because now I can say, well really, I'm working on the grill work. I'm perfecting the craft.
Oh man, I was at the Dallas Cowboys, so barbecue and grilling is a way of life out there in Texas. That third coach knows what they're doing out there when they're in terms of learning their way around the grill. So, I mean, it became a thing, you know, going to teammates' cookouts, having people over for cookouts. It's just that's just a way of life out there. And so that's kind of when I got into it. And then, of course, marrying a woman from the south side of Chicago, she believes in grilling in her own right. So it's a way of life in the Canty household, man. Just being able to navigate that grill, being able to, you know, put something on there on a nice weekend afternoon, have a cold beer on standby. It doesn't get any better. For the unofficial start of summer on Memorial Day weekend, what better way to celebrate the holiday?
That's the way
to have something come on the grill. What better way to celebrate?
That's the way to do. And also from the south side of Chicago, and also from the illustrious Hampton University. So you know it's always love. Canty, appreciate your time. On the way out, can you give us your pick for the night, man? Timberwolves, Mavericks. Do you feel like Ant-Man and Cat get it back together, or do the Mavs take a commanding 2-0 lead?
Oh, Ant-Man and Cat better get it done. I was disappointed in the lack of aggressiveness from Anthony Edwards from an offensive standpoint. He's going to have to find a way to be selfish, even when the Mavs are trying to blitz him, trap him, double-team him. He's going to have to look for his own shot, much in the same way like Michael Jordan did or Kobe Bryant did when it became the clutch time. Defensive formation be damned. He's going to have to get going in terms of getting his own shot, and that's going to open the door for everybody else to get going. It can't be Ant-Man looking to make the right basketball play. It's got to be about Ant-Man getting buckets. I'm telling you, 16 of 40 over his last two games for the field ain't going to get it done. Only one made bucket inside the three-point line in game one against the Mavs ain't going to get it done. Anthony Edwards has to be aggressive tonight. He's got to get this win. I can't see a scenario where the Wolves go down 0-2 on their home court and they find a way to win this series, not against Kyrie and Luka Doncic.
He's a sports encyclopedia. He's also the grill master of unsportsmanlike. Chris Canty, dog. Appreciate you pulling up on us, man.
All right, Theo. Have a good one, man. Enjoy your holiday weekend.
Appreciate it. That's Chris Canty from Unsportsmanlike. We have yet to fulfill our Infinity Gauntlet. We've had Michelle Smallman in studio. We've had Evan Cohen in studio, probably too much. Next time he's in the area, we're going to make sure we get Chris Canty by the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios right here in City Place in West Palm Beach. And speaking of Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, I mean, you know how these South Florida drivers get down. You know how dangerous the roads can be on any given day, but especially on Memorial Day weekend. Stay careful out there on the roads. And if you do end up in a car accident, a truck accident, a slip and fall, my friends, Anajar and Levine, Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine, they will fight for you because they don't get paid unless you do. They'll fight to get you the maximum compensation you deserve. So call Anajar and Levine for your free consultation. Don't just settle for any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine. That's going to be what they call the Anajar and Levine difference. It takes just one phone call to take back control of your life. So take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. The number is 1-800-747-3733. Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Man, I got to get that that wood pellet grill now, man. I can't let Canty down.
Yeah, you kind of, yeah, there's no backing down.
Yeah. Now. Can he or Canty, I sure can throw at least some sausage dogs, some bratwurst on the grill. I think I'm going to start. He did say those lamb lollipops. I think I might have to check that out. We're going to touch on the biggest whiners in the NBA. This came to my sensibilities. This came to my, the front of my brain when I was actually watching the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs this year. When I went up to Target Center and I saw one of the greatest complainers in the league just mouthing and jacking and crying and whining the whole game. And I thought, man, he don't get enough credit. So for the Top 5 Friday today, C-Cat and I going to deliver to you our top whiners in the NBA. That plus the get around when we come back. He's C-Cat, I'm Theo Dorsey. It's Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Time now for the coolest moment of the week. Presented by EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDS is yes.
That's right. That's right. It's time for the coolest moment of the week. And when you do something so amazing on a basketball court that it elicits a double bang from Mike Breen, well, I mean, how can that not win coolest moment of the week? Take a listen.
Trying to get free. Throwing in the corner. Brown fakes, fires up the three. Bang! Bang! Jaylen Brown knocks down the three to tie the game.
That from game one of the Eastern Conference Finals when Jaylen Brown tie things up with the corner three, and the Celtics would ride out overtime with some Jason Tatum buckets to win game one. They're now up 2-0 over the Pacers, and it wouldn't have happened without that key moment. That's the coolest moment of the week, presented to you by EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. And as you know, I mean, the word heat in South Florida, we cheer for it. Oh yeah, we cheer for it often, except for when we talk about how hot it gets with that actual South Florida sun, the temperature. And that's where EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing comes in. EDS is yes. You cannot play games with your AC. You're going to need that championship level performance every hour, every single day. Make sure you tap in EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. I'm a gold member. That means I get 2 checks annually. And that means you get preventative care, not just repairs when things have gone wrong. And you know, the way things heat up and as quickly as it happens out here in South Florida, yeah, once that AC goes down, you could be waiting hours and hours to have somebody by. You might even have to wait a whole day. That was me 2 years ago. But a little over a year ago, I made the smart decision to join EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing as a gold member. And now I haven't had a bad day when it comes to my air conditioning since. EDSAirConditioning.com. They're a trained comfort specialist, and it's hard to stop a train. EDSAirConditioning.com. Get plugged in. C-Cat, this is kind of tough right now because, of course, some of these players are no longer in the NBA playoffs. But I did think that it's time we actually give an ode to those who cry the most. For our top five Fridays, on this Friday going into Memorial Day weekend, it's the NBA whiners.
Top five, no debating. Top five, top five, top five.
And the Top Five Fridays presented to you by Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. And I'll give, how about we do it like this? We start at five. I give mine, you give yours. We'll work it up to one. So kicking things off.
Number five.
I got LeBron James. I just don't believe. Actually, I have Draymond Green at number five. I don't believe he's as big of a whiner as people say, but he is in that top five. Who you got, C-Cat?
Yeah, he whines about the public all the time. It's both on the court about something he did that he does not believe is dirty, but actually was dirty.
Yeah.
And whining that everyone says it's dirty behind his microphone on the Draymond Green show. I actually have Draymond Green at five as well.
Twins.
Yeah.
All right.
Number four.
Number four, I got LeBron James. I jumped the gun. And I think people jump the gun a bit when it comes to the rhetoric around him complaining. Does he work officials? Yes. But does he whine as much as the next three guys on my list? Nowhere close.
I'm going with Steve Kerr as my fourth biggest whiner in the NBA because the dude does not keep his mouth shut. Whether it's with stuff that's happening outside of the NBA and outside of the sport of basketball, or even if it's stuff that is on the court with complaining about getting calls, Steve Kerr's got to shut up.
Number three.
I'm going Devin Booker. Devin Booker doesn't just cry for calls. He doesn't just whine and complain to officials. One time he got a mascot thrown out of a game. If that's not the king of the mountain when it comes to whining and complaining, then what is?
I'm going with myself at number three because I realize that this list was really easy to make because I whine and complain about the NBA more than anybody else you'll hear about on the airwaves. I hate the regular season. I hate Adam Silver. I whine and complain about NBA basketball more than anybody else. That's why I'm on the list at number three.
What's there to hate about Adam Silver?
Player empowerment. Dude has lost control of the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seriously has.
Hard to argue against that.
Number two.
I got Luka Doncic, which is an upset because most people would have Luka, who's playing tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves, game two of the Western Conference Finals on TNT. Most people have Luka Doncic number one on their list. The dude he's kind of bratty with his whining. His face will turn red. He'll literally stop. He won't get back on defense, and he's just pleading for calls and whistles all the time. It doesn't help that his face turns red alongside with the whining. It's like a visual cue. Oh, Luka's crying again.
Number two on my list of the biggest whiners in the NBA is Russell Westbrook. Because of one moment and one moment only, even though there's plenty of evidence that proves this to be true, he got a fan ejected for saying West Brick. They said Russell West Brick because he was missing jump shots. If that's not a grade A whiner, I don't know what is.
He don't like his last name getting messed with, man.
Number one.
And number one, I got Nikola Jokic. Yeah, the Joker. The beloved, the guy who is like the opposite of polarizing. Everything's neutral about the dude because he's like basketball AI. He seems to make the right play at every turn. But that dude, especially when you watch him in person, whether he has a uniform on and he's the one getting hacked or if he's sitting on the sideline on the bench rooting on his teammates, he is steadily yapping at officials, steadily crying for favor, and I don't think he gets enough credit for it. So he's number one atop my list for top NBA whiners. Who you got at number one, CKat?
Number one.
It's LeBron James. He invented flopping in the NBA. It was LeBron James before it was anybody else. And why do you flop? Because you want to complain for a call. He changed the league as we know it in many ways. Many of them positive. He changed the world. Many of them positive. But he impacted the culture in a bad way on the basketball court. LeBron James is my number one whiner in the NBA.
And there's your top five Friday NBA whiners edition here on Theoretically Speaking, presented to you by the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center, where I tune up my golf game every single week. I mean, how do you improve on your irons without putting them to work? How do you get better at ball striking with the driver and landing in the fairway without repetitively actioning it, working on it, but then also getting some training? And if you want to train like a champion, train like a pro, you want to train with the Seahawks at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. They've got the indoor facility that I talk about all the time, 2,000 square feet, three different ball hitting bays with ball flight technology and video replay. There's also the driving range, the putting green, and then also an area to chip. They got it all at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center, right on the flagship campus of Kaiser University off I-95 and the Turnpike. I mean, they turn out nothing but champions with that Seahawks program. Let them make a champion out of your golf game, the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. That was a fun top five Fridays right there, NBA whiners. And again, Anthony Edwards, I think, is an underrated whiner. Here's his move. When Anthony Edwards is mad, he doesn't get a call. I think the reason why people don't have as much angst about Anthony Edwards, he doesn't do a lot of yapping. His mouth will just be agape. He'll be like,
yeah, great for radio.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. His mouth is just agape, and he doesn't say anything. So watch for that tonight on TNT, Game 2, Anthony Edwards. When he gets hacked going up on a layup and he doesn't get the call, he just turns to the official and just opens his mouth up.
And that sounds like that, right?
Just like that.
It sounds just like that.
Yes,
you actually got it head on.
You heard it. You heard a little bit of it. You heard a little bit of it when you Shut up, C-Cat. All right, it's time for our favorite segment here on Theoretically Speaking. We take you all across the nation. It's time for the Get Around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round, round and round. I get around.
The Get Around. We take you to the biggest sports stories from city to city on our Theoretically Speaking bus. What's first?
Next stop, East Rutherford, New Jersey. Because, watch out, NFL, we may have a ticked off Daniel Jones on our hands.
Daniel Jones admitted on Thursday he wasn't overly thrilled, not fired up, were his exact words, with the Giants' pursuit of a quarterback in this year's draft. General Manager Joe Shane tried very aggressively to move up to the number three pick with the Patriots, where he was going to select UNC quarterback Drake May. A ticked off Daniel Jones might be exactly what the Giants need.
A ticked off Daniel Jones is exactly what a defender needs. I mean, I don't understand how a guy like Daniel Jones can act like he's like, oh, I took that personal. You're like, you're not Michael Jordan. We haven't seen a threatening year from you yet in the NFL. You had a good year, an above average year, and the Giants paid you like an elite quarterback. This is the silliest headline I've ever heard. Daniel Jones is ticked off. Watch out, NFC East.
You're not Michael Jordan. You're not Baker Mayfield. That's what the standard of guy with the chip on his shoulder wants to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah.
You're not Baker.
But how about this? Trev or Daniel Jones?
Trev. We're going Trev.
Yeah. Next stop.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. The NBA announced its Fan Favorites Awards, and Anthony Edwards won 3 of the 6 awards.
Anthony Edwards not only has the state of Minnesota changing its rally cry from whatever the hell it was to bringyourass.com. He also wins Best Block of the Year, Photo of the Year, and Dunk of the Year, 3 of the fan favorites voted on by the fans. Here's my point. Anthony Edwards is the only one of the remaining superstars left in the league that can claim face of the NBA if he wins an NBA championship this year. Luka Doncic can't do it. He's not moving the needle like that. You want to know how I know? Ask your significant other, if they don't pay attention to sports, what Luka Doncic looks like. Ask them one significant thing that they've heard Luka Doncic talk about or do. It hasn't happened yet. Jason Tatum, the opinion on him is way too polarizing. People don't even think he's the best player on his team. Anthony Edwards is the only one that could claim face of the league after this year's playoffs, but he's got to win first.
Next stop,
Boston, Massachusetts. Kendrick Perkins went on First Take and claimed Jaylen Brown made a seismic statement about him last night.
He's the best player on the Boston Celtics, and he's willing to stand on business. Last night was a prime example of a guy taking it personal and responding in great fashion. Mm-hmm. He may try to downplay it, but we could see it in his face that he was pissed off he didn't make an All-NBA team and how he handled it. All right, y'all take this 40 piece.
Jaylen Brown was a man possessed last night. And he's right. He, of the Celtic stars between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, trust me, as a Heat fan, I've always feared Jaylen Brown more in big moments than I have Jason Tatum. You can get that guy to settle for a bad shot any possession. Jaylen Brown has more of a dog in him. And again, how can Jason Tatum become face of the league when he's not even the face of his own team?
Next stop,
L.A., California. Shams Serrano went on the Pat McAfee show and announced who the Lakers consider as frontrunners the frontrunner of the head coaching job.
And right now, my sense is that J.J. Redick, he is the guy around the league that everyone believes is the frontrunner for this job. He's in position. I think there's an infatuation with J.J. Redick right now, just in terms of his ability for right now, but also being a coach that the Lakers can have for years and years to come. That's someone who's obviously young enough in the industry, young enough in the space where you feel like you have a 4, 5, maybe 6 year runway with a guy like J.J. Redick as your head coach, where now you have him command the respect of a LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
J.J. Redick is going to be the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Bronny James is going to get drafted into the NBA. If you want to do well and exceed in the NBA, be friends with or family of LeBron James. That's simply how it works. Stop complaining about the fact that LeBron James, who has built this empire, LeBron James Incorporated, LeBron James LLC, and is spreading the wealth to his friends, his compadres, and his family. Get over it. The dude has already earned it. We're going to take you home on the other side. We're going to take you home on the other side. I just don't want y'all to continue to fake the funk here. It's going to happen. LeBron James gets what he wants in the NBA, especially in the Adam Silver era. When we come back, we give our playoff payoff picks. We pick against the spread for the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight in the Western Conference Finals.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
If today's show felt a little clunky, it's because, well, in our pre-show meeting, C-Cat and I spent about 30 minutes watching darts videos.
Luke Littler, man. He's the next Michael Van Gerwen.
It was a 9-darter.
Look it up.
I was impressed. And honestly, I never thought I would be that entertained by darts, but I was trying something new, and it was great. And Duffy Sports Grill, it's nothing new. You should already know all about being a Duffy's MVP and Duffy Sports Grill. But what is new? Burger Mania. It's here at Duffy Sports Grill, so make sure you check out your local Duffy Sports Grill. Enjoy an all-star lineup of burgers. And leading off, you got the primetime burger, half pound of beef. That patty's going to be topped with certified Angus beef ribeye. I almost red-eyed it. Sharp cheddar. You got onion rings on it, horseradish, cream sauce. That's the number one. That's the all-star lineup. But of course, you got the sesame-crusted ahi tuna burger and also the pimento burger. Those burgers available through May 31st, only at Duffy's. Duffy'sMVP.com. At Duffy's, our game is always on. Yeah. I think it's time to take the good people home, and we're going to take them home with our playoff payoff. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. The playoff payoff. C-Cat and I go against the spread in the NBA playoffs. So far, I'm 2-1. C-Cat's 2-1. You won last night. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
You can thank Rick Carlisle. Okay. Tonight, the Minnesota Timberwolves, 5.5 point favorites against the Dallas Mavericks at home. I have a bounce back game from the T-Wolves. I have Minnesota covering and obviously winning. What say you, C-Cat?
Minnesota wins, but 5.5 feels like a whole lot of points. Mavs cover, taking the Mavs plus the points.
I love it. Do you think the Mavs win?
No.
Okay.
Timberwolves win.
Sounds good. Happy grilling and stay safe for Memorial Day weekend. Go in love, go in peace, go enjoy, and enjoy high school game day next.